Is going to be covering experiences among FTM youth.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say, but I'm going to talk about the dangling T in LGBT. So thanks everyone for being here. My name is Leila Pollack, and I'm going to talk about the results of a qualitative study that I did looking at gender identity development among female-to-male youth. And I'm using sort of the broad definition of youth, 25 and under. And I have no relationships to disclose here. As a bit of an introduction, transgender youth are a misunderstood and vulnerable population at high risk for suicide, homelessness, alcohol and drug use, violence, sex work, and HIV. In order to provide the care, support, and understanding that these youth desperately need, we have to first understand how they construct their genders and their bodies and how this affects their unique developmental trajectories. A better understanding of these issues from the perspective of the youth themselves will aid providers and parents who inadvertently foster a climate of fear, isolation, and depression among this poorly understood population. The aims of my study were to understand and map the process by which female-to-male transgender youth come to identify as transgender, and to understand how developmental milestones affect female-to-male transgender youth. In order to do this, I conducted in-depth, open-ended qualitative interviews with a convenient sample of 13 self-identified transgender youth, ages 18 to 23, who were born female but did not identify as female. Participants were recruited through an LGBT youth-oriented clinic in San Francisco. The interviews were analyzed using an adapted grounded theory methodology, using interview data to develop theory. The final study population was composed of 13 participants, ranging in age from 18 to 23 years old. The participants represent a range of socioeconomic and family backgrounds. So this is the model that emerged out of the interviews that I conducted for this study. It's a little complicated, but I'm going to walk through it. I'll talk about how school, puberty, sexuality, and exposure to diverse gender options impacted each youth's sense of his own gender. At various points, as you can see in this model, at various points in the trajectory of childhood and adolescence, each of the participants began to actively think about their gender before eventually identifying themselves as something other than female. After becoming aware of themselves as transgender, these youth embarked on an ongoing process of identity exploration and social adjustment. So I'll talk about the model in two parts. First, I'll focus on the period leading up to the participants' awareness of themselves as transgender, and then about the period of adjusting to this new identity. So starting here. With a few important exceptions, most of the youth recall a time when gender was not something they thought about, and they felt no aversion to being labeled as female. While most of the participants described ways in which they transgressed gender norms in childhood, being tomboys or having sort of boyish features, only a small number of participants felt early on that they were a boy or wanted to be a boy. Of these, Bob, and all of these names are changed, who describes his gender as, quote, 1,000% male, is the only participant in my study who has always considered himself male and has socially presented himself as such throughout his life. Still, just to give you a sense of the impact of these milestones, Bob didn't really even start to think about his gender until elementary school. Although a few participants recall their parents pushing them into more traditional female gender roles or discouraging their masculine behaviors, all focused mainly on the reactions of their peers to their masculinity. In preschool, children often first become aware of gender differences and begin to demand that everyone identify as boy or girl. Around this age, Bob began to realize that his gender was fundamentally different from his peers. He says, quote, "Everybody knew they were either a girl or a boy, and it's like you would be called a he or a she. And that's when I knew that I wasn't like the other people. I wasn't what I was physically." This polarization of gender roles becomes more severe and explicit in middle school and high school. A few of the participants began to think about their gender in association with the social pressure to act more feminine. Tyler, for example, felt completely disconnected from the social conventions of femininity and, quote, "really started becoming conscious that I was, like, different from other girls." Others felt pressure to conform to dress and act more feminine, which often came across as strange and unnatural, paradoxically highlighting the youth's masculinity. For some youth, this attempt at conformity was accompanied by increasing depression. I asked every participant how they felt experiencing the physical changes of puberty, specifically developing breasts and beginning to menstruate. I found great variability in the youth's reactions to their changing bodies. For youth who had never identified as female, such as Bob, puberty presented a crisis. Their femaleness became something that they could no longer ignore and became difficult to hide. For Sam, who was already uncomfortable with anyone or anything that referenced him as female, puberty was extremely difficult. For years during the week he was getting his period, Sam describes himself as being, quote, suicidal and crazy. Many of the other participants felt uncomfortable with their body as they went through puberty, but still didn't really know why or didn't really connect it to anything about gender. Most of these youth came to an uneasy truce with their bodies and their female gender. Perhaps most surprisingly, many of the participants do not recall any negative feelings about puberty, and a few even report liking their female body at the time. Much more than puberty or school, sexuality can have a powerful impact on a youth's sense of gender. As Solomon says, quote, gender wasn't really present in my mind very much until like high school and puberty, and then I started to think about it more. When relationships began, it's interesting to think about the relationship between like the beginning of your sexual relationships and the beginning of thinking about your gender. Individuals frequently feel a strong sense of gender during sexual interactions. Participants talk about feeling male when kissing a woman or being less satisfied in relationships in which they were the less masculine partner. In addition, youth frequently explore their gender through sexual interaction. Even for participants who did not identify as male at the time, being desired in a masculine way was important and empowering. All of the participants talked about important moments of clarity emerging from exposure to transgender identities, either in the media or through meeting transgender individuals in person. For some youth, this was the first time they started thinking about gender. They experienced a moment of self-recognition, which was exhilarating or terrifying, or both. Without any awareness of the existence of others like them, youth, especially those who grew up in conservative or rural areas, may have no context for understanding their feelings about their gender. Some youth find this moment of "that's me" to be exciting and liberating and almost immediately begin to identify themselves as transgender. However, this is not always the case. Even after experiencing strong feelings of being male or recognizing oneself as potentially transgender, it can take a period of time for an individual to acknowledge these feelings. Youth frequently feel a great deal of shame associated with their feelings of gender difference that's exacerbated by the realization that they may actually be transgender. The lack of exposure to positive portrayals of transgender identities, coupled with society's general abhorrence of people who cross gender lines, often make these youth feel not normal and wrong. These participants recall experiencing a period of increasing intensity of discomfort with being female or awareness of themselves as male before reaching a critical breaking point where they said to themselves, "I am transgender." In this period, some youth describe experiencing a changing relationship to their gender and its expression, describing having more negative feelings about their body, experimenting more with a masculine sexual identity, and feeling increasingly averse to being referred to as female. This period can be exceedingly difficult and lonely for these youth. After realizing or coming to terms with oneself as transgender, there's often a period of gender exploration. Youth cycle through different transgender identities at their disposal until they find one that fits them or feel comfortable defining their own terms and naming their own gender. Like male or female, each transgender identity has a certain set of social expectations attached to it by the community who uses it. Navigating and sometimes rebuking these expectations is part of the youth's journey towards his own unique masculinity, a process of self-definition that continues throughout life. The range of transgender identities represented just by my sample of 13 reflects the diversity of ways to be transgender. These identities include, and are not limited to, heterosexual male with no trans attached, transgender, genderqueer, genderbender, gay dude, dyke boy, and, quote, "I own my own gender, and it's not male, and it's not female." These participants also represent a diversity of sexualities. Some of these youth are attracted to men, some to women, some to both, some to trans men or trans women, etc. The main commonality is that all of these youth prefer to be socially received as male. Okay, so this is sort of back to the big model, and I'm going to zoom in on the second part. As the participants explored their gender options, they were also adjusting to a predominantly male social identity. Some youth openly defy gender boundaries and enjoy the confusion that this elicits. Most, however, just want to blend in and move on with life. Coming out to one's parents can be a very difficult aspect of transitioning. Although rare, having supportive parents can be an incredible asset in the difficult process of coming to terms with a transgender identity. At an age where peers provide important support and validation, and in lieu frequently of family support, youth tend to make their own families. Finding transgender friends in a queer community makes transitioning easier in terms of gaining acceptance and learning about the process of transitioning. The body is a major social cue of gender, and something that can be controlled and adapted in order to be read socially as male, although that control is limited, especially in youth, by cost, parental control, and medical access. Female-to-male individuals often take testosterone to create a more masculine appearance, both to correspond with their internal sense of gender and to pass more consistently as male in the world. Starting hormones also provides a sense of relief and greater control over one's life and gender presentation, and frees up mental space to actually work through some of the all-consuming gender issues. For a number of reasons, not all transgender individuals take hormones at all. The traditional discourse used to argue for medical interventions to masculinize or feminize the bodies of transgender individuals is that these individuals were born in the wrong body or feel like they are in the wrong body. While one participant, Bob, describes himself using these words, most of the participants don't use language that suggests that they feel this way. Many of them have much more complicated relationships to their bodies. Solomon talked about his alienation from the wrong body discourse. He says, "I wouldn't want to call my body wrong. It's mine. I love my body. But I guess it's, in all honesty, there are things about my body that I need to change, and that's why I'm doing this. I don't want to say that I hate those things, though." This is not to discount the experience of the youth who do view their body as innately wrong and foreign. Many of the youth did feel extremely uncomfortable with their body, some because of its meaning as female to society, and some because of its many meanings to themselves. But the results of this study highlight the many different ways in which transgender youth relate to their bodies. Tyler says, quote, "I think you can be whatever gender. It doesn't matter what kind of body you have." Part of the whole transition, both social and physical, is integrating the new identity and undergoing something of a personal transformation. Becoming he entails new ways of interacting with the world and relating to yourself. Solomon says, quote, "Like, even as much as I felt male inside, being called he is like a totally different world, and I really had to get used to it." Some youth feel that part of the time they spent being female or being consumed by gender was time lost that they're trying to regain. In some ways, transitioning involves starting over and reassessing who you are and who you want to be. A few participants describe it as a rebirth or, quote, "giving birth to myself." For some youth, it allows them to imagine a future that they could never envision as female. Bob talks about starting hormones when he says, that's when I started looking towards the future. So the model that I have presented demonstrates how the female-to-male transgender youth in my study came to identify as transgender and how developmental milestones impacted this trajectory. Perhaps the most striking conclusion to draw is the very different ways in which each youth experienced the stages of the model and the fact that all of the participants went through each of these stages but at different times in their youth, adolescence, or young adulthood. As one participant said, quote, "Everybody is totally different. I haven't met one person with anywhere near the same story as mine." The results of this study also kind of bring out some fundamental inaccuracies of a number of the popular assumptions regarding the transgender experience, at least for the female-to-male youth who I spoke to. It's often assumed that transgender individuals identify their cross-gender feelings in early childhood and then suppress them. However, many of the youth in my study did not begin to think of their gender as wrong or even begin to think about gender at all until their teenage years. This may reflect fundamental differences between female-to-male experiences and the male-to-female experiences that inform the popular narratives. It's also assumed that coming out as transgender involves transitioning from one gender to another, but in reality, the truth is much more complicated. There are as many different ways to be a trans man as there are to be a biological man, probably more, and definitely more ways to name your gender. The youth also have a diversity of feelings about their bodies, which affects the medical interventions that they seek. Whatever their relationships to their body, these medical interventions hold a great deal of importance to the extent that the youth who desire them cannot envision a future in which they are not a possibility. Professionals, parents, and other people who work with transgender youth should understand that transgender identification is a process that occurs over the course of many years. Confronting transgender identity can be very scary for young people and the adults who care for them. It's important to provide a supportive environment where youth can work through their gender at their own pace. So I'm about out of time, and there are a few limitations to my study. Like all qualitative research, it's a small sample size, and it may not be generalizable. They also were recruited from an LGBT youth clinic in San Francisco, so they're in a fairly unique environment with access to resources. They also are recalling their youth and their development, and they may have kind of shaped the way they tell their story based on where they are now, and it also is just a one point in time that I talked to them. And I'd like to thank my panel and the staff at the Dimensions Clinic, my advisors, and definitely the study participants who gave their time for this research, and my funders. I think there's time for questions. Anybody has one? Yeah, I talked to them, all of them talked some about their sexuality and their attraction to men or women. For a number of them, kind of identifying as a lesbian was their sort of first identification with the queer community, and they sort of from there began to be exposed to male transgender identities and came to identify as transgender, and many of them still maintained their attraction to females. Although interestingly, there were a few participants. There was one participant who had come out as lesbian in junior high and identified as lesbian, but then actually as he began to explore his male identity more, came to kind of realized that he was actually much more attracted to gay men, but more kind of identified with the queer community and a queer identity, and that was kind of, so thinking of himself as a lesbian was sort of the thing that made the most sense when he was in junior high. And then there were also a number of youth who were attracted to men who were kind of struggling to be part of a gay male community. And, you know, a lot of these struggles, I think, of identification had something to do with trying to figure out for the youth themselves how they felt, but really had a lot to do with trying to figure out kind of where they fit in a community and kind of who their peers were and how to make these identities, their sexual and gender identities, mesh within themselves and within the world they were in. Does that kind of answer your question? My flyers said that I was recruiting people who were biological females who did not identify as female, and then sort of had a list of transgender identities. I was sort of at an LGBT youth clinic and would just sit there and kind of wait for people to come up to me, and had a lot of help from the clinic staff and this youth action board who worked at the clinic, and they would also kind of point out youth who may be eligible for my study, and then the members of the Youth Action Board would recruit them and point them my way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leela. Next, we're going to return to discussing cigarette smoking again among sexual minority youth. Dr. Heather Corley.